big color, bigger savings. Sherwin-Williams Super Sale is here. Get 40% off paints and stains June 5th through the 11th with prices starting at $30.89. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Daniel Candeias was sent off for gesturing towards Anton Ferdinand, according to the Scottish FA. Stephen Fletcher says he never considered international retirement and is ready to lead the line on Saturday. And Stuart Armstrong doesn't miss Scottish football, saying the time was right for him to move on. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Mark Guidi, and so far just Mark Guidi. Hopefully Jim Duffy will be with us soon, Mark.
Yeah, and breaking news, Gordon, from the Scotland camp, and Mikey Devlin, the Aberdeen defender, is out, and Jack Hendry, the Celtic defender, called into the squad. And it leaves the burning question ahead of Saturday night's game against Albania, a game that we really don't want to lose: who is going to partner Scott McKenna at the back for Alec McLeish's team?
So much to get through tonight. It might be international week, but Scottish football just never ever stops. It's 0141 951 1025 on the phones. It's at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And in the second half of tonight's show, we're going to be joined right here in the studio by St Johnstone striker Tony Watt. We're going to talk football with the man himself, and also with a bit of a special thank you to him for some excellent charity work he's been doing on behalf of Cash for Kids as well. So stay tuned for that. Coming up at 7 o'clock, we will be joined by Tony Watt. But before we get to that, let's talk football. 0141 951 1025. Like Mark says, some team selection issues for Scotland a bit later on. We're going to hear from Stephen Fletcher, and I want to know, does he lead the line on Saturday for Scotland, or is it someone else? You decide, you tell us. But let's kick off with this Daniel Candeias business, Mark Guidi. It's been widely spoken about, and it had gone away. He was banned at the weekend, but it's raised its head again just before we came on air, actually, because the reason for his sending off has been published essentially on the Scottish FA's website. And now, you may remember that Rangers appealed on the basis of mistaken identity. And it's because of that appeal that you receive the explanation. We know that referees don't explain their decisions, but we do get a written explanation on the back of any appeals. I won't read it all to you, I won't bore you, but essentially Willie Collins' report confirms that the caution to the player is believed the player was involved in two incidents. One, making gestures towards the opponent, the St Mirren number 35, which is Anton Ferdinand, after the scoring the goal, and becoming further involved with the opponent as he made his way upfield after celebrating the goal. The tribunal viewed the video footage of the incidents supplied by the claimant, and so on and so forth. Essentially, you know, we knew it all stood. That's old news. But perhaps what we didn't see in the footage was this idea that he was sort of blowing kisses or winding up the St Mirren players before you see him coming together with Anton Ferdinand.
Yeah, I mean, because certainly we were baffled in terms of there was no contact. It wasn't like, you know, he'd shoved them or put the head in them or whatever. So we were kind of baffled. And now, what are we, 12 days on, and we get an answer. So what I'd like to know, as Gordon, if you're aware of the wording in terms of the blowing kisses, is it being disrespectful to an opponent? Why do you get booked for making a gesture such as that? We know his first booking was because of his celebration, which is fine, that's in the rule book. But in terms of the blowing kisses, where is the wording that justifies that yellow card? I'm sure it must be there, otherwise, you know, the booking wouldn't have stood. But I'd just like to be made aware, if anyone can find it. I don't want to put you in the spot, Gordon, but if somebody can find us that, just to clarify it, because
I'm scanning as you speak.
I wasn't aware that it was justified a yellow card, but not unless it's, you know, sight and intimidation or whatever it may be. I don't know.
All right, so 0141 951 1025 for you to get involved. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Like we say, Mark, I don't want to blow this up to be something that it's not. We've spoken a lot about it. The ban has already come into play. I mean, he missed the game against Motherwell, but it is interesting to hear this, because as is advertised a lot. We don't get explanations from referees about decisions. Some people would like that to be the case, that we do hear from them. We obviously don't, but because that appeal went in from Rangers, that's when you get this written explanation. Let's assume then that it is just these gestures, if you like, the blowing of kisses, whatever it may be. Is that enough for a booking in your mind?
Well, I'm not so sure. Listen, it's not nice. You can say it's disrespectful towards a fellow opponent. But in terms of transparency, Gordon, for Scottish football, not just for us and the media, but more importantly for the paying public, for supporters, particularly in this instance, Rangers supporters, why can't we find out what it is? No, so what I'd like to know is, when Rangers made the appeal, were they appealing the yellow card on the basis that they thought he had been booked for something physical? Or were Rangers aware that he was being booked for blowing kisses towards Anton Ferdinand? Now, were Rangers actually given the proper explanation? That's what annoys me about Scottish football, particularly when it comes to decisions with referees that clubs take umbrage with. Why can't we just be given the reasons for it? And then you might not agree with it, but at least you know it saves guesswork. It saves a lot of debate. You can actually deal with the facts, and it's a lot better to deal with something when you've got the facts in front of you rather than try to guess, and you're wasting a lot of time. I don't know why we can't just be given the facts and let us deal with them. It's why does it have to be in this day and age from the SFA when it comes to referees? Why does there need to be so much secrecy? I think it's an absolute disgrace that there is.
The squeaky door hinge that you heard was Jim Duffy entering the building. There's high drama in Clyde Bank tonight. Temporary traffic lights. The place is at a standstill, Jim Duffy, but you've made it.
Yeah, well, it's the first time I've ran for a while, Gordon.
You ditched the car.
Aye, there's a kind of bead of sweat there, which is, I can tell you, that's quite unusual these days.
Well, listen, Jim Duffy's here. Mark Guidi's here. Now all we're waiting for is you to join us. It's 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Jim, Mark and I have just been going over the fact that the written explanation for Daniel Candeias' second booking, this much talked about second booking, has been published, and essentially it was for goading the opposition in various ways.
You can
word it in a number of ways. The report says, you know, that he was involved making gestures towards the opponent, Anton Ferdinand, and then this coming together that you see with Anton Ferdinand with the arm round him. So what do you make of all that?
Yeah, I think it's nonsense, the same as Matt said. I mean, listen, you see players, managers, whether they're cupping their ears or rubbing their belly, like Chris Boyd did the other week there, or, you know, whatever, you know, smiling at the opponent, putting the arms out, and it's just, it just beggars belief for me that that's deemed as goading the opposition. And
unsporting behaviour would be behavior.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that at the time when he did the referee do that. But, you know, I don't think they were ever going to come out and say, listen, the referee made a mistake here. They'll look to whatever rules they can to back the referee up, and then they'll back the referee. Mm. That's always going to be the case. But to me, to pick up a yellow card was outrageous. And as I said, they just, you know, again, if you're going to go down that rule, almost every time somebody celebrates a goal, you're going to have to book the player.
Rangers fans, let's hear from you on this one then. 01419511025. Just to play devil's advocate on this, if you're Daniel Candeias and you're on a booking for going into the crowd, is it worthwhile thinking to then not blow kisses to the opposition? I think we are all sort of agree that, you know what, we're all sort of big enough to handle that. It would be good if players could have a little bit of banter and managers and so on, but when you know what the rules are like, might he have been a bit more mindful?
I think perhaps when you know individual referees, some referees would be a little bit more forgiving and some referees are not. And I think you might know the referee, and perhaps if you've got a certain referee, and I'm not talking about particularly what they call him here, I'm just in general, you know, you might turn around and say, listen, be careful, guys, today, this referee won't stand for that. So make sure, don't be saying into the ref, or don't be going to the fans, whatever it happens to be. But at the start of the season, Gordon, you know, all the clubs are told, you know, celebrate with your own fans, don't go near your opposition fans. And in high-profile games, you know, the police normally come to the stadium and speak to the players and say, listen, You know, again, just re-emphasising, if you're going to score a goal, don't be running to the opposition fans. Don't be in it, because obviously if they surge forward, it can cause injury and stuff like that. So players are well aware. There's absolutely no doubt they're well aware of it. But there are elements that are just a little bit of a wind up, and that to me is not inciting anything, and certainly doesn't deserve any more than a little ticking off.
All right, 01419511025 on the phones. I feel like this is a disciplinary hour. I promise we're going to move this on and talk about football very soon, if it's the last thing I do. But Dolly Menga will be banned for 2 games. We sort of expected that last night anyway, but confirmation that that has been accepted by Livingston. He misses the Rangers game, he misses the Motherwell game after that headbutt on Ryan Christie on Sunday. Yeah,
Sunday.
Getting my days mixed up here. Right, let's get to the phones. John's in Crawfoot. Hi, John.
Hi, guys. How are we?
Hello,
thanks,
John.
Not bad. 2 points. The first one about the Livingston player there and his 2-game suspension. Obviously, had he been sent off earlier on in the game, that result might have been different. Okay, Celtic, and I'm a Celtic fan, ended up getting a draw. I kind of feel now that other teams could benefit from this. For example, if the league was very close at the end of the season, and I'm not saying it will, because I think Celtic will win it by quite a few points, but the big guy can't play up front now against Rangers. And he was, let's be honest, he was giving our defenders a bit of bother. So Rangers could benefit from that and gain a few extra points that they might not otherwise have had. Also, Motherwell, if Livingston were to slip down the table a bit, they could be in a dogfight with them at the end of the season, and Motherwell could again benefit from the fact that the guy cheated against Celtic. So I'd just like to hear the panel's thoughts on that before I make my second point about Christie.
What's the solution though, John? Because we had this last night. How'd you get around that?
My solution would be that he's banned for the next 2 games against Celtic.
Right.
Cheated against Celtic.
I mentioned this on last night's show, John. What if this happens in the last meeting of Livingston and Celtic in the season? Right, it happens with 2 weeks of the season to go. He gets sent off. He does something against Celtic, and there's a retrospective ban. Dolly Menga either leaves in the summer, or Livingston get relegated. When does he serve the ban?
Oh, fair play. I mean, that's a good point, but I still think, well, okay, if he leaves and he moves on, he can't play against us again, fine. That's maybe the chance you take, but I think this early in the season, let's be honest, if it happens in the last game of the season, it's probably not likely to be as relevant, because then he's not going to... My point is that he's not able to play against teams that could challenge Celtic for the league. If it happens in the last game of the season, it's a moot point.
Yeah, but John, there's another 10 teams in the league. You know, it's not just about Celtic and Rangers. You know, he's going to miss games anyway. He's going to miss the next 2 games, and therefore that's his point. The punishment is Livingston's punishment. They're without, you said, a player who's important to Livingston. Now, you know, it could be St Mirren and Dundee, you know, are fighting for relegation. They could miss these games, and that's every bit as important to Celtic wanting to win the league, or Rangers try to challenge Celtic for the league, all these kind of things. So there is no perfect scenario other than the fact as he gets a 2-match ban and he has to serve it. It's Livingston are the ones that are going to miss out rather than a benefit to other clubs.
Yeah. Well, that's a key point, Jim. It's not about your club, John, or another club. It's about Gary Holt not being able to use the service of his best striker. He's number one striker, his main number nine, for his own stupidity. I know there's been a lot of debate about whether it was a red card or not. I think 100% it's a red card. It's a right decision. It should have been sent off on Sunday, but it wasn't. But the SFA have dealt with it properly, and we've got to credit them for that, just as we're crying a bit of criticism at the lack of transparency over the Candeias thing. It's about Livingston's loss, John. In this case, it's not really about your team.
John, just going to stick with this for the meantime, so I'm going to move on. My apologies. Gary's in Newton Mearns, who wants to talk about this Candeias business. Gary.
Hi, panel. Good evening.
Hi, Gary.
I was listening to the show earlier, and you told me that, I heard that Candeias got his second booking for blowing kisses. I absolutely think that's diabolical. What are they going to book him for? If he waves or he bats an eyelid? I think Willie Collins should now be disciplined for that yellow card, because that could have been a game changer with him being sent off for absolutely nothing. There's players getting away with a lot more, pulling the jerseys, pulling people down in the box, raising their hands and getting away with it, kick-outs with McGregor and Morales getting away with it, and yet blowing a kiss. Come on, it's a contact sport, and that's no contact. Willie Collum now is a disgrace to Scottish football and referee for booking a player like that. for that reason.
But if the booking, that's, I'd just like to find that the wording, Gary, that's why, if the booking wasn't justified, then I'm sure we would have heard more about it. So there must be something there that justifies Willie Colum.
Well, not necessarily, because of course you can't appeal the booking anyway. And Rangers tried through, you know, mistaken identity, which you can't really do. And that's the only reason, well, you can't do in this instance, sorry. And that's the only reason we've had this explanation. I'm just reading it. This is not my opinion. So the reason is that he was involved in two incidents. So this one, making gestures, that's this idea of blowing kisses, which I don't think was really caught on the footage that we saw. Uh-huh. But the disciplinary panel have seen that footage. And then becoming further involved with the opponent as he made his way upfield. Surely that's the bit that looks harsh on Daniel Candeias, because that this idea of getting involved with Anton Ferdinand for the second time, he doesn't seem to do much wrong at that point, does he?
No, but I think for them to mention in their written report, Gordon, the kisses to Anton Ferdinand, that's them trying to justify their decision. So they must feel that is justifying
behaviour.
Yeah, because if it wasn't, they would have included it, because they'd be leaving themselves open to ridicule. So if they've used that in their statement to justify it.
The blowing kisses is not worded in the statement, but that's...
What is it, making gestures?
Making
gestures. Now, making gestures can be a number of things. Do I think blowing kisses merits a yellow card? No, I don't. I don't think it's right. I don't think it's very sporting. I think it can be a bit disrespectful towards your opponent. But do you necessarily get booked off for being disrespectful towards your opponent?
I don't get it at all. It's completely, it baffled me at the time. It's still baffling me. You know, you see, as I said, every game at the weekend, you know, if somebody's been getting a bit of stick, or if somebody's not been doing well, they might blow a kiss to someone, they might wave to someone. I used to get bald all the time and pretend I'd hair kind of ruffled as if I was putting my fingers through my hair. And I was like, but you would do that to the opposing fans. So technically speaking, you know, I'm you know, making a gesture to the fans.
Like all of these things, is it about consistency? Because most people laughed when Chris Boyd ran away the other day and did the belly celebration, and my word, he milked it, and then he did the dance and all the rest of it. So most people laughed at that and thought, oh, okay, that's a bit of banter, that's fine.
Why not? That's exactly what we should be.
That's my point.
That's exactly
so
what we should be doing.
Is this different? Gary, in you come.
Yeah, I just think that Scottish football is becoming a laughing stock, that a player has got a second yellow card. Candeias was walking away, and Ferdinand put his arm around him and made a punching gesture to his face. That, to me, is more breaking the rules of football and sportsmanship, and could have incited something else.
Well, he did. He did get booked, Gary. And I know you might think it deserved more, but he did get booked for that.
He's been punished for it. But to actually give Candeias, it's well typical Willie Colum. You book both of he books both of the players, and they happen to have a certain booking. I mean, this thing about going into the fans and celebrating a goal, I honestly think there was nothing wrong with it. Any player should have the right to celebrate a goal with the fans if they want to.
Yeah, they should, but it is clearly in the rule books that first yellow card is justified, even if most of us, and probably a lot of referees, don't agree with it, but it's in the rules. It's said it's part of the public safety as well. It's from on high, from police, etc., etc. Gary, yeah, it'd be great if we could all jump into the crowd and get on with it, but we can't, so the first yellow card is totally justified.
Thank you to Gary in Newton Mearns, 01419511025, if you've got a take on the Daniel Candeias situation. And also Stephen Fletcher, he's been speaking, says he never considered international retirement, and could it be him to lead the line for Scotland on Saturday? If you agree, give us a call, and if you disagree, let us know who it should be. Callum Patterson, Ryan Christie, Ollie McBurney, you tell us.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
When you're in debt.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi are here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We are going to hear from Stephen Fletcher talking about potentially leading the line for Scotland. So I need your suggestions. Should it be Stephen Fletcher? Should it be someone else? Callum Patterson, Ryan Christie, Ollie McBurney, someone we've not thought of? You tell us. 01419511025 on the phones. Twitter is at ClydeSSB. Lots of calls have been coming in about this Daniel Candeias business. Now, the explanation for his sending off has been published on the Scottish FA's website. It talks about him making gestures towards the opponent, Anton Ferdinand, and then getting involved again. The one that you've all seen on the TV with the arm round the neck. Martin McKenzie's on Twitter. He's a Rangers fan. He says he does blow a kiss and it is on camera, just not the angle used live. It isn't harsh though, it's just plain wrong. Blowing a kiss isn't a booking, not in a million years. That's why they've added the further involved bit, i.e. being put in a headlock. I suspect this could go on all night. I don't think we should let it, but it is important in the meantime, so let's keep going. Brendan is a Celtic fan in Carntyne. Hi, Brendan.
Hi, how are you?
Yep, good, Brendan. What's your take?
I don't normally phone up about any other club apart from my own, but I just felt that the point has to be put across that
right in his prime. Let's see if we can get Brendan's line cleared up there and we'll get him back on. And just went a little bit fuzzy. Just cut right at his punchline, Martin Guidi. But yeah, Martin's point on Twitter, there are two parts to this idea of making gestures and then the getting involved. But in many ways, see, if it was just the making gestures, would that almost be easier to stomach from a Rangers perspective? Because you might think it's harsh. You can still think it's harsh, but you say, right, I can see where they're coming from. But the fact that that incident that you do see with Anton Ferdinand is being held against Daniel Candias, that seems a bit strange.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's any justification for any form of punishment in terms of the second part of the explanation. Absolutely nothing at all.
Right, Brendan, I think we've got you. We cut you off in your prime there. Are you still with us?
I'm still here, hi.
Right, on you go.
It's a ridiculous situation. The gesture that the alleged kisses gesture. The Rangers fans are complaining about it tonight. These are the same guys who 15, 16 months ago were complaining about another manager copying his ears. Come on, guys, it's a bit of fun. It's a game. We all need to grow up, you know. So,
well, there we are. I mean, yeah, it would be nice if we were all sort of consistent about it, Jim. We know that's a lot of that stuff goes out the window with rivalry and so on. That can happen. Do we all need to get a bit more of a sense of humour and take these things in the chin, no matter who it is?
I think the majority of fans will take it, with a pinch of salt. But, you know, there'll always be someone that gets offended by anything. Somebody picks their nose, somebody gets offended. But it's one of those situations where it's more to do with the rules, as Matt said. If I get a little bit surprised with the fact that they had to give two reasons. See, if you think one is justifies a yellow card, just give one. Just say, listen, he made a gesture to the fans and that's a bookable offence. End of story. Then you can't. Or he was involved in an altercation with another player. That's a yellow card offence. None of us think it is. But as I said before, I don't think they're ever going to come out and say, you know, that it was a poor decision. You know, the decision's been made. They're going to back the referee, which they have done. And I think he served his one match ban, so just have to go on with it now. It was a poor decision as far as we're all concerned. It's not the right decision, but it's done, it's gone. We just have to move on. But it is kind of, you know, one of those situations where, as I said before, if you take it by the letter of the law, then there'll be players booked left, right and centre, and managers booked left, right and centre every game.
Yeah, and Mark, this has become such a hullabaloo, such a mess over one yellow card. And I understand why, because it's one that leads to Daniel Candias being sent off. So it's not like it's a first booking. You then get the Rangers statement on the back of it. You then get Steven Gerrard saying that he actually doesn't have a problem with Willie Collin personally. So the statement obviously came from elsewhere. And now this today, it just keeps it going and keeps stoking the flames.
Yeah, and one thing about Steven Gerrard saying that, it shows 100% he's his own man. You know, even though he is the manager of Rangers, if he doesn't agree with something that's come from the club, he will say it in terms of what he believes as an individual. But getting back to the point, listen, could you imagine the uproar, Gordon, had Rangers not won on Sunday without Daniel Candias? You know, the fact that they won 7-1, you know, absolutely, you know, softened the blow of losing him. That said, it still for me doesn't justify the red card.
Gordon,
there's
been many unjustified card, yellow, red over the years. It happened. Listen,
I've maybe missed a trick here on opening up. What's the weirdest booking you've ever seen? There we go. Yeah,
there's umpteen over the years. You just think, what was that for? What was that about? I mean, obviously the famous one when Gaza.
I was there. That Dougie Smith from Troon, I think, was the referee that day.
And you know, there's been, you know, this year there was a goal that Patrick Thistle scored. You know, it came back off the stanchion before, and you wasn't given. I mean, there are mistakes made, there are decisions made you don't agree with. I think this one has, you know, I think it's went overboard, really, to be honest with you. It was a mistake. Mm-hmm. They missed one game. Rangers won 7-1. Move on.
Yeah. Kevin McDonald's on Twitter at Clyde SSB. He says, I remember the 98-99 season. Celtic fans were chanting "One Jim Leighton" when we were beating them 5-0 at Pittodrie. Poor Jim pointed to the number one on the back of his shirt and got booked for it. What an utter disgrace of a booking. So there we go. This is nothing new. Yeah. Get used to it. 01419511025 on the phones. I'm sure we'll get more calls on that. Let's try and move it on a little bit and talk football if we can. I want to hear your suggestions on who leads the line for Scotland on Saturday. Is it Stephen Fletcher? We've not seen him do that for a while. Or is it someone else? You tell us. 01419511025. Twitter, it's at Clyde SSB.
I think on that, we mentioned the news at the top of the programme, Gordon, that Mikey Devlin's out and Jack Henry is in. And I think, listen, I don't know for sure, but I suspect that Alec McLeish was going to go with a McKenna-Devlin partnership, yeah, the Aberdeen partnership. Now, I'm told that that there's a right good chance that we're back to a back four on Saturday night, and you know, every chance at Kieran Tierney will slot in at right back, Andy Robson at left back.
David Bates perhaps in there then, he was another one who was called up.
Yeah, I mean, again, as I said before, it's about you know, sometimes balance. Obviously we've got a lot of left footers, yeah, if Kieran Tierney plays right back as well, you know that Bates does give you that, but he hasn't got any international experience, and it's maybe one of those games where you think it maybe requires that just to handle the occasion. But listen, it's about the top end of the pitch, yep, for me. You know, we've got to be more creative. We've got to be more of a threat. So I'd be more interested in who's going to
doing
be
the
top,
business,
the top,
yeah,
of the pitch. I think it'll be Oliver McBurnie, but
think so, yeah.
I think so with maybe Johnny Russell.
Come on then, who leads the line? 01419511025. Stephen Fletcher says he's never considered retirement because he still feels he's got plenty to offer Alex McLeish. He hasn't featured for Scotland since a sub appearance in that 2-2 draw with Slovenia just over a year ago. That's been quite a year since then, and he says that he's noticed big changes since then.
It's good, yeah, I'm enjoying it. A lot of new faces, a lot of young faces, but it reminds me of my time when I first came in. It's probably daunting. It's probably not as daunting for them because there's a lot of them have came in at the same time, so no, it's good.
Did you feel maybe that your time had gone?
Maybe, yeah, obviously with the injuries I had and stuff. I've been out for a long time, about a year and a half with my knee, so it was like me looking, thinking, not officially retired, but maybe my time has gone for the national team. But I've managed to get back fit, pain free, which is always good. And I started playing well this season. The manager gave me the call and asked me if I was wanting. Obviously, they're going to jump at the chance to come back again.
Number of players of your era, Scott Brown has retired, James McArthur has retired from international duty. Did you consider international retirement?
Not at this moment, no, because I still felt like I had a lot to offer. You know, I felt like I was playing well at my club, so I feel like I've still got a lot to offer. So if I can help in any way, shape or form, then happy days. I can, even if it's not playing, it's off the pitch, giving a bit of advice to the young lads and helping them in training and in the games. If I do get a chance to play, then I can always help them as well, you know.
Right, come on then. Is it Stephen Fletcher to lead the line or is it someone else? 01419511025 at Clyde SSP on Twitter. Stu says he'd like to see Lauren Shankland, but I'm sorry, that's not an option at this moment. Let's confine ourselves to who's in the squad. Mark Weedy, who are you going for?
Stephen Fletcher. I'd have to go with Stephen Fletcher. I know Ollie McBurnie's been in squads and played more recently for the national team than Stephen Fletcher. But I think for a game like this, I would go with it with experience and the know-how. That said, Alec McLeish and his backroom staff are assessing these guys and will be over the past few days and the build-up to the game on Saturday night. But on paper, I would start with Stephen Fletcher as our number nine. And I would have, bearing in mind the recent form, albeit it was 0-0 on Sunday, I would have the four Celtic guys in the team, particularly the three, McGregor, Christie and Forrest. I'd absolutely start with them. That's one thing I'd pick Alec McLeish up on, was the fact that he didn't start James Forrest in the last game.
What gives McBurnie the advantage in your mind, Jim?
Just you know, he's played, you know, regular football for Swansea. You know, he scored a few goals, not a load of goals, but he's a player who, as I said, he's played the last couple of internationals alongside kind of Johnny Russell, mm-hmm, kind of playing off him. I know it was a 3-5-2 formation when it's happened, and Matt seems to be thinking it's going to be four, and whether that's a 4-3-3 or a 4-4-2, we're not quite sure yet. But I just think that Stephen Fletcher, listen, a few campaigns ago when Craig Levein was in, you know, he was omitted and everyone was clamouring, yeah, and he was at his peak then. But he's not at his peak now, and let's be honest, you know, he's nowhere near the maybe the level that he was 3 or 4 years ago. And by his own admission there, he said, you know, real injury problems. So whether he's ready to go and start the game, I'm not sure. Also, for me, I think we should be going there, being positive. And then the Israel game might be slightly different. We might need just a little bit more, you know, I'm not saying maybe get a bit conservative, but maybe just a little bit more physicality in that game. And then he can maybe come in and play a more major role in that game.
And where does Ryan Christie fit into this then? I mean, is he an option to do that on his own up there, or does it have to be he goes behind someone else?
Up to him behind is his best, Jim.
Yeah, well, I think that where Celtic are playing him, Celtic are playing him as a midfielder, out midfielder. They're not playing him as a number 10. You know, they're playing him as a midfielder. Tom Rogic is the one that really goes closer to Edward. But for me, he's been playing terrific football. He's a threat, not just in scoring goals, but creating goals. I'm with Mark. I'd like to see Forrest playing, McGregor playing in the same role as he plays for Celtic, getting on the ball, making things happen. Christie advanced to him, John McGinn the other side. You know, to
great,
me that,
great energy, great legs about them,
young, enthusiastic. We've got power, we've got skill, we've got pace, and there's a threat, a goal threat. We need to go here and win. Let's not mess about here. This is about going here and winning. If we don't have a natural top number nine, no disrespect to the guys, then we've got really talented midfield players who can score goals. So let's make sure we utilise them.
Martin's in Bowness. Martin, for you, is the man to lead the line Stephen Fletcher or someone else?
It's not Stephen Fletcher, someone else. Someone who's been playing more regularly recently than Stephen Fletcher. I think you said there he's been injured for a long time. It's not, even when he wasn't injured, I don't think he was scoring bags of goals when he was fit.
Who is there though, Martin? We don't have many to choose from, do we?
We don't, but it's a tried, tested and failed thing with Fletcher. He was old news. He didn't do well when, apart from the Gibraltar game. I think he scored like a hat trick against Gibraltar.
Yeah, twice, I think.
But I think McGranick has scored a hat trick against Gibraltar, so I'm not going to really credit him with that one too much.
Is she available?
There was one Malta.
What's that?
Is your granny Scottish?
What I'm saying is, no, Fletcher was a try and test in the field. I don't think we should go there. That's just getting back to old ways that just didn't work.
But sometimes, Martin, when we have a situation such as we're in just now, when it's coming down to two games, we need a positive result on Saturday night. You don't need to look too far into the future. It's about the here and now to get you over the line in 90 minutes. And I'm not saying Stephen Fletcher is the answer over the next campaign, but what I'm saying is he might be the answer on Saturday night.
Martin, just because we're a bit pushed for time, I know you did have a comment on the refereeing side of things as well, so if you want to go for that one.
Yeah, I'll try and make it quick for you guys. It was basically just picking up on what Mark has said about referees having a whole secret society going on in terms of whatever. I made a point last year when we had the same problem about referees making so many mistakes that referees should be accountable for their decisions in terms of not so much putting them in front of a camera to explain what they did, but I reckon maybe after every single match, maybe some sort of report is sent to both clubs to see from the referee's point of view how the game went and decisions that he made and why. Those reports should go to each club involved in the match, and then if the clubs see fit, they can release that to their website so the fans can look at it and say, well, okay, fair enough.
The only thing I'd say, Martin, is that is what's happened here, is that Willie Collins explained, it just so happens that it's not to most people's satisfaction.
Oh, what I mean is for every match, not just for, I'm just talking about for every match. We didn't know this, when it happened last week, we haven't done the wise. We've been sitting for the last week thinking, well, that wasn't fair. If we'd got
all
this,
about the timing.
After that day, or maybe the next day, you wouldn't have had so many calls this week morning and complaining. We were like fair enough.
Fair enough. All right. Thank you to Martin and Bowness. Of course, we've only actually got the explanation because of the appeal that went in by Rangers. We're going to hear from Stuart Armstrong. He says he doesn't miss Scottish football because the time was right to move down south. Give us your thoughts. We'll hear from him after the travel with Michael.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We've been discussing the explanation given for Daniel Candace's sending off, and of course the upcoming Scotland game as well, asking you who you would have lead the line. Nicholas on Twitter saying, I think Ryan Christie and David Bates should both be given a chance. And then the next part of the sentence, perhaps the harsh reality, we can't get any worse, she says. So there we go. And El Naranja is on Twitter saying, Mike refs up like in rugby. As part of their job, they must give the player an explanation of why they're being booked or sent off. They're then accountable for their actions and can't act on a whim, guess or change a story later. I like that, Jim. I like the idea. I just wonder if a lot of our players would find themselves in a bit of bother
because they get picked up.
If people could 100%. Hear the way they spoke to referees,
but then that should be part of the deterrent. Then there's a there's a bit more of a bit more order and a bit more respect shown. So maybe it would be a deterrent to have the mics reffed up, not only from an explanation point of view, but from keeping the players in good line.
And they definitely did one years ago, didn't they? Was it a Motherwell Hearts? Oh, someone will tweet and remind me they did one, and I don't think the findings were too good on the players.
I think they'd apologise if you picked up any, you know, language that was inappropriate. We'd like to apologise for that. I think you'd be saying that every 30 seconds, and also if they went across to the technical area and had a word with one or two of the managers, it might be irate. I think they would pick up a few things as well. But
speaking from experience,
yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, you know, the fact is, it is a different, if you're going to have a mentality, rugby and football, there's no doubt. We're just speaking off air there about Eddie Jones saying he's going to smash the Japanese and all this kind of stuff. And if football managers use that type of term and that language,
up in arms.
The phone lines would be, you know, be off the grids. You know, it's just a different mentality for rugby, and we have to accept it.
Let's hear from Stuart Armstrong. He says he doesn't miss Scottish football because the time was right to move down south. The 26-year-old is in the Scotland squad, of course. He says they're all behind Alex McLeish and hoping to progress in the Nations League for him.
It's always hard when you're not playing games, not starting games especially, because nobody likes sitting on the bench, and I'm not the most patient, but I need to learn to adapt, and I'm in a different league. I spent, I think, about 8 years in the Scottish League, so changing leagues and environments is always going to be different and a change. I wouldn't say I miss Scottish football. I think I had my time here and I was very grateful for it and had a lot of nice memories. But I think for me as an individual, I wanted something new and, you know, a new challenge. And if I hadn't taken that opportunity, I think I would have regretted it.
As for Scotland, the last performance in Israel was pretty poor. Why should we be optimistic that you can go to Albania and get a win and then finish the job at home to Israel?
Well, we certainly have the belief. The performance the last time out wasn't great. And everyone knows that. So it's up to us to sort of turn that around. And put a good performance out.
And is Alex a good leader?
Yeah, I mean, we're all behind him, and what would show that the best is, you know, performances and results. And if we can produce that for him, then that's what we'll be aiming to do.
You always sort of get this, don't you? It's so early on. He's only been gone a couple of months, and I suppose it has been a bit sticky in the respect he's started two league games and come on six times in the league for Southampton. That doesn't mean really we should expect him to say, "Oh, it was all a big mistake, and I wish I had stayed."
He's going to back himself to be a success, and I think for a lot of players, particularly Stuart Armstrong, he's a fine player, a lot of time from, really intelligent boy, as well. That he's not the finished article. So as he said, he's 26. It's only really the past, you know, 18 months that he made a name for himself at Celtic and started to play there every week. So you've got to give him time to adapt. He's also playing in a struggling team that's in the back foot every week, so that's not exactly going to suit his game. Definitely if he was a centre half or a left back, fine, but he's an attacking midfielder, so he's not getting many opportunities to shine in that environment that he's currently in just now. But yeah, you can understand why he wanted to make the move. Celtic got good money for him a year to go in his contract, and I've no doubt that whether it's with Southampton or if he moves on to another English team, he will be a right good player because he is very talented.
Yeah, I mean, again, he had to change his position at Celtic. Initially he was a wide player, and, you know, wasn't his natural position, although he did break forward and score a few goals. But when he went into a more central position, you know, he was definitely a better all-round player, more creative, more of a threat. He said he saw things, his game intelligence was very good. Like Matt said, he's went to a team who are struggling just now, you know, and he also picked up injuries. He has picked up injuries over the last few years, little niggly injuries. And if you don't get in straight away into a Premier League side or a Premiership side, it can be difficult because, again, similar to a lot of big clubs, and you know, they've got a lot of players in those areas. So it will take him a little bit of time to settle. But, you know, if I think they pay about $7 million, something like that, for him. And you've got to remember, in Premiership terms, that's a squad player. And no disrespect to Stuart Armstrong, but if he does do really well, and, you know, that's a bonus for them. But they're bringing him in to supplement their squad. They're not maybe bringing him in thinking he's going to be an automatic first team choice.
If you're looking for some good international news, I can't bring it very often, but the Scotland under-19s have made a winning start to their UEFA qualifying round. They've beaten Wales by 2-1. Billy Gilmore, former Rangers youngster, now at Chelsea, scored twice in a 2-1 win. That's a really strong group, that, actually. They've been together for a number of years, almost the same team. The likes of Billy Gilmore, Zach Rudden, Jack Aitchison and Glenn Middleton were up front. The under 19, so strong that guys like Harry Cochrane, who play in the top flight, are actually on the bench. So there we go. Well done to the Scotland 19s. A 2-1 win against Wales. Ken's in Cambus Lang on the line. What's your point, Ken?
How's it going? You probably noticed in the news that, you know, the England-America game, they've recalled Wayne Rooney as a, like, a farewell, we goodbye, so he can say goodbye to the fans at Wembley. Uh-huh. And I'm just wondering if there's any Scottish players that you think might actually deserve the same thing with Scotland, with a friendly game at Hampden, where people have contributed a bit, you know, maybe like Darren Fletcher, Alan Hutton or Scott Brown, people are players of that like that you think might deserve a wee half hour of friendly just to say goodbye to the fans at home.
That's an interesting question.
I don't like the idea of Wayne Rooney getting it anyway. That's me personally. I think you play your game, was 119 caps or whatever, it doesn't matter. You don't round it up. You know. Well, let's give him 120, and whether he says farewell or not, you get enough caps, you play your game, you have your time, and then you move on. The next guy comes in. So for me, I don't think it should be happening. A lot of people think, well, listen, you know, you're a bit of a, you know, a footballing Grinch. But I think that, you know, if you start doing that, I mean, we've got enough meaningless friendlies that players are, I mean, we can hardly get players, pick, you know, actually deciding to play for important games, for qualifying games, without trying to organise friendlies for guys who, you know, listen, have contributed. Listen, I'm a big admirer of the guys that Ken mentioned, but they've got their time, they've had their caps, they've played their role. For me, that's it, you move on now.
I can see the merit in it. All-time leading goal scorer for the national team. And again, listen, it's a friendly, and, you know, if it's a 15-minute thing, it's going to be, I can see the merit in it. I think part of the problem, you know, as Ken's call would be, can you imagine this happened 30 or 40 years ago, Duff, when we had proper, if you want to call them world-class, but certainly top international players, Kenny Dalglish and Graham Souness, like that. And we thought in this day and age now, just the way football's evolved and society's evolved, if we thought that back then, if this was a thing to do, and we didn't give Kenny Dalglish the chance or Graham Souness, you know, the thought, I would be all for it, just to give them that little something, a chance for the fans. We're not talking about a guy who played 10 games, you're talking about a proper international player that helped him reach 4 or 5 major tournaments and whatever else. So I get the one side of where people say devalues caps. I totally get it. I'm not going to argue with that, because I agree with that. But in terms of just for a moment during the friendly for 15 minutes, I don't have a problem with it.
I suppose maybe it's hard to compare, Ken, because what Wayne Rooney, you know, achieved for England, unfortunately, in the last generation or so, we don't even have a relative example of
nothing near it.
I remember at the time James McFadden's on 48 caps, isn't he? And he was kind of looking for those extra two
to maybe get 50. But again, why should, you know, significant numbers? I mean, me personally, I think Wayne Rooney's starting. I think, isn't he? He's captain in the team, you know, and again,
you're right.
Me personally, I think that it's a gesture. I understand it, but I don't agree with it. I think, as I said, You in football, it's about moving on. How far do you go back before you start saying, if somebody has
give Jim Duffy his first cap?
No, but seriously, if somebody, another player, Frank Lampard, for instance, just for talking, he's getting, I don't know how many caps, but let's say he's getting 99. Do you all of a sudden say, let's get Frank and give him a cap?
See, depending on the attendance, what does Wembley hold? 90,000?
That's the other side, isn't it?
Let's just say,
add a bit
okay, so you, I think there's definitely an element of PR to attract or not, but let's just say there's actually 20,000 fans actually do want to give him a farewell and turn up and say, I was at Wayne Rooney's final game. I think you've got to give fans that chance to allow themselves to go and see it if they want to.
Right,
pay
Ken,
their money.
Ken, we're a bit short on time. The guys are not having it in terms of picking a name that we would do it with. Have you got one?
No, I said they mentioned three guys that I thought would be good servants for Scotland, you know. And I was just wondering what they thought, if there was anyone that they would put forward for that.
Jim Duffy's definitely no. He's a footballing Grinch. He admitted it himself.
I would just say, listen, James McFadden in the modern day era was my favourite Scottish player, you know, in modern times.
Yeah.
You know, so therefore, if James McFadden could have, and deserve 50 caps, as far as I'm concerned, when I see a lot of other guys who have got a lot more caps with much less ability, but I still wouldn't be out there saying,
get him another
two games just for the sake of it.
Beat the Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Beat the Pundit time, and remember, just for getting through, you're winning yourself tickets to Chris Boyd's testimonial this weekend and the chance to take on Mark or Jim. So 01419511025, give us a call right now. You only have until the news at 7 o'clock to play Beat the Pundit.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Jim Duffy and Mark Guidi join me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have been joined as well by our special guest for tonight, Tony Watt. So I'm sure you'll enjoy what he has to say. And if you have any questions, on the phones, 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's do this first though.
The Pundit.
With goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It is time for Beat the Pundit. Tony Watt's terrified in case I'm going to ask him to play, but don't worry, you're safe. It's either Mark Guidi or Jim Duffy who's going to be up against Jamie, who's a Rangers fan in Livingston. How are you tonight, Jamie?
Yeah, good, thanks. Good. Yeah.
And of course, Jamie, you're already a winner. Very easy this week, just for getting through. You've won yourself a pair of tickets to Chris Boyd's testimonial this Saturday, the 17th of November at Rugby Park. You fancy that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Good man, a winner already. But we know the real prize here is victory on Beat the Pundit. So let's see how you get on. Heads, you're going to be up against Mark Guidi. Tails, you'll be up against Jim Duffy. And it is heads. Mark Guidi, get those headphones on, please. And I'll give you some Clyde 2 so that you don't know what Jamie is saying. Jamie, you've got 30 seconds. You're going head to head with Mark. You can pass. Remember, here is your chance to beat the pundit. In fact, I'll tell you what, it would help if I had the same questions. Because, see, sometimes, Jamie, you don't mind being honest and saying that's last night's questions I've got in front of me. So there we go. And we'll get them in two. This is the beauty of live radio, Jim Duffy. You just sort of padding, I think they call it.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, listen, it's like, you know, referees, same
I can also hear Mark Guidi's Clyde too.
Anchor journalists, they make the occasional little faux pas.
Yeah. You're listen, human. And it's not even.
And even the producer, but you're going to try
he's the one I can blame.
You're going to try and deflect here because you're not taking full responsibility.
No, no chance.
You should have been prepared, Gordon. That's the bottom line.
Well, it's him. He sends me the questions. And I can actually. I'm going to take Mark Guidi off Clyde too because I can hear. What was that we were getting there?
Aideen Cara. Yeah. What a feeling.
See,
it helps.
Did you do the quiz there?
No, we don't have the questions yet.
I was wondering.
No, you're thinking yourself, he's going to try and answer some questions here, but. No, there's. I think producer
technical
Andy.
Producer, you know, Andy's having one. Is what they say in the industry.
He's doing a runner.
I just saw him run past the window, so that's worrying enough. Here he comes. There we go.
Tell Look Jamie to, you know, hang on a little bit. Jamie's still there eventually.
Right, Mark Guidi, get yourself to Clyde right. 2. let's give Jamie the questions. I hope that weight doesn't put you off. You ready, Jamie?
Yep.
Who's Scotland women's most capped player?
Pass.
How many points are Celtic and Hearts on in the league?
33.
Who are currently third in the Scottish Championship? These are tough.
Inverness.
What supernatural being appears on Elgin's badge? What is going on with these?
A phoenix.
And what year did Craig Sampson join St Mirren during his first spell with the club?
2003.
And how many matches, I think we've got time, has Livingston's Dolly Menga been banned for?
Two.
They were murder, my word. All of that
weight. You should use last night's.
For producer Andy to run away through and, gee, and that's what he comes back with anyway. Right. Mark Guidi, are you with us?
Yes.
These are murder. I hope you're ready. These are absolutely brutal. Right, same set of questions to you.
Right, on you go.
Who's the most capped Scotland women's player?
Oh, Gemma Faye.
How many points are Celtic and Hearts on in the league?
23.
Who are currently third in the Scottish Championship?
Ross County.
You'll like this one. What supernatural being appears on Elgin's badge?
E.T.
In what year did Craig Sampson join St Mirren in his first spell?
2003.
How many matches has Livingston's Dolly Menga been banned for? And who managed Ayr United between 95 and 2002?
Quick, Gordon Dale.
Jamie, they were tough, weren't they?
Oh, I knew that last one anyway.
Supernatural being. Producer Andy is nodding his head as if, yeah, that's a good question. Honestly,
he's happy with that one.
Honestly, what a ridiculous. Anyway, let's go through them. The most capped Scotland women's player is Gemma Fee. Well done, Mark. Guidi got it. A 1-0 lead. Lots. How many points are Celtic and Hearts on in the league? It's 26. You were close. So it's still 1-0 to Mark Guidi. Dundee United are third in the championship. Honestly, things I never thought I would say on the show. What supernatural being appears on Elgin's badge? It's an angel, apparently. There we go. I don't know, I'm none the wiser. Two angels, he says. At least I think that was what he was saying. He might just have been giving me another gesture. What year did Craig Sampson join St Mirren during his first spell? 2010. How many matches has Livingston's Dolly Menga been banned for? It is two. You got that one, Jamie. So it's 2-1 to Mark Guidi. He got onto the last question. You didn't. It wouldn't have mattered. Gordon DL, our own Gordon DL, managed Ayr United between 95 and 2002. A classic 2-1 victory for Mark Guidi. Hard lines, Jamie.
No worries.
Enjoy.
Good man.
Enjoy Saturday. Exactly. Remember, it's a 1 o'clock kickoff, remember, Jamie?
Exactly.
1 o'clock.
Jamie's off to Chris Boyd's testimonial anyway. You've won the tickets. 1 o'clock at Rugby Park this Saturday. If you want to buy tickets and go along, you can do. They're £10 and £5. You get them at the ticket office down there or at kilmarnockfc.co.uk. You'll have another chance to win tomorrow and Friday. Get along there. See guys like Ali McCoist, Nacho Novo, even Alex Ray is pulling on the boots. It'll be a sight to behold. Pedro Mendes as well. So lots of them involved. Get down there and give it some support if you fancy it. 01419511025 in the phones. I'm pleased to say we are now joined by St Johnstone striker Tony Watt. Tony, how are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm good, thanks for having me on.
Good stuff. You're looking a bit worried there in case you had to play Beat the Pundit. How many would you have got?
Two, I think, maybe.
You think so?
The points and maybe the suspension.
Right, okay. Fair enough. Tony, we're looking forward to talking football with you as the next hour or so progresses, but you are here with another purpose, and that's because I'm pleased to say that thanks to your hard work, you, off your own back, completely off your own back, have raised £2,575, and you're in here tonight to give it to our Cash for Kids charity. So, I mean, from all of us, thanks. Thank well done. And just to explain a bit about how that came about.
I was just explaining that to Jim. I got my tops put up in my flat, and I went to my mum's house, and I realised I had so many just floating about. I'd always collected ones for players I respected or players I played against, and I just thought maybe we could get rid of them for charity and sell them to people and get them framed up. Boy, it does my frames. Paul Roper for proper frame display and canvas line. He said to me he would frame them up and he'd do it, and I just thought it'd be going to a good home if somebody wanted to buy them, and it'd be good for charity. And He obviously contacted you about Cash for Kids, and I thought that was a good idea.
Yeah, you and I had a bit of a discussion about this. I mean, why Cash for Kids? There's lots of good charities out there. What made you decide to go down that route?
Yeah, well, obviously we spoke about it, and you explained where the money goes and why it goes where, and if it helps families across North Lanarkshire and that, then it's close to home as well. So for me, it's a good purpose. Yeah.
Nice to hear, Jim Duffy. I know footballers get a bad rap sometimes, but I can honestly say you won't realise the effort Tony went to on his own. He contacted everyone. He put them up on his own social media. He collected the payments so quickly. He did absolutely everything, and then he's just decided to donate the money. So big well done to him.
No, it's absolutely fantastic. And as I said, I think that, you know, guys like Tony deserve a lot of credit for it, and there are other players as well that do a lot of stuff.
It goes unnoticed.
And as I said, and it's only when someone does something, you know, which is a bit negative, that they seem to get publicity, a lot of footballers. But Tony said, I think the most important thing to him is that it's local. The money goes locally, and everybody knows it. The amount of work that Cash for Kids has done over the decades, really. And you know, Tony doing that, and as I said, he doesn't need to do it. He could have made himself a few quid if he wanted to. He could have gave it to various people, but he's done it for Cash for Kids, and I think it's you know, absolutely outstanding.
What sort of shirts were you auctioning off, Tony? Because you had loads. I think you ended up shifting about 11 of them or so. What was in there?
I think there was maybe three or four of mine. There was a Fraser Foster Europa League signed one. Craig Bellamy, he actually gave me one of his international tops that he wore signed, and just little ones that would probably have went on my wall if I'd on an hour day if I chose it. But then
if you had a big enough wall,
house.
If I had a big enough wall, but yeah. I just on the day I thought I'd maybe go for other ones, and then I thought people would probably make use of that Bellamy, and I tried to do it with maybe a Celtic or Rangers or a Scottish connection, so that people would.
Yeah, there's a James McFadden one and stuff, wasn't there?
Yeah, McFadden signed as well, and ones that people would appreciate. Obviously, I've got other ones from being abroad, but people probably wouldn't appreciate them and bid for them. So I just sifted through them, and I got, I think I got like maybe 15, and a couple never went, and I couple of people pulled out, so it ended up 11 sold, and the money came through in the 3 or 4 days that the people they said they would.
Yeah, listen, well, it really is appreciated, not only by us but by the children that will benefit from this money. If you want to help as well, remember Mission Christmas is underway. You can text Clyde to 70808 if you want to donate £5. That's text Clyde to 70808. I mean, we were never going to push it, Tony. We were never going to ask for the Tony Watt jersey, and you've told us tonight you don't even have it anymore.
No, I swapped it on the night with Pedro, but that's one of the ones that are up on my wall, so I'm not too fussed. My mum's got my boots for that night, so it doesn't, to be fair, I've got enough stuff with my name on the back, it doesn't really bother me. I prefer maybe your other players and your other stuff.
Has Pedro got your jersey up in his wall?
I think he has, in his living room or above his head. I'm not sure what one it is.
I think it's just next to the Messi one that he got when he was leaving Barca, and the Tony Watt one.
In which one of his houses?
Exactly.
The one in Malibu,
the London pad,
the one in London,
yeah,
the one
exactly.
in Barcelona.
Right, Tony, this is where the fun really begins. Like I say, well done on the charity, but we always do a bit of a getting to know you with the players when they come in here, and you never know what this is going to throw up, Jim Duffy. So here we go. Going to fire through some of these questions, Tony, and get to know you a little bit better. What was the first game you went to?
I used to go to Motherwell games when I was younger with my uncle.
Great taste.
Obviously Celtic and Rangers was a bit feisty, and then the Celtic games were probably harder to get to. I couldn't tell you the exact one, but I would have maybe been about 4 or 5.
Would have been a classic anyway, guaranteed. Who was your footballing hero growing up?
Henrik Larsson.
Easy one, just Celtic striker. I mean, you don't need to say much about that, do you, Jim?
Still my hero, ain't he?
He's still my hero. Right, best player you've played with?
James Forrest, I'd say.
Why?
He was just unbelievable. He had a hard time of injuries when I was there, but when he came into training, he would just terrorise people. And I sat in the stand at the new camp one night, and I don't know if he came on at 45 or the first 45, he just tore Jordi Alba apart, and I just thought, this guy's special.
And then seeing what he's doing now consistently as well.
I was always his biggest fan on social media, and people used to say, oh, no, and used to go against it, just maybe because he's quiet, maybe because he's not out there. And then now I get to laugh about all the comments.
Sometimes as well, for a while, it was a kind of target of the Celtic fans when things weren't going right, but the kind of first guy that the fans would
for a while, what annoyed me, because how good he was. I know he's fast, but how he can do the things running at that pace is just on another planet.
This will be an interesting one as well. The best player you've played against, if you had to pick one, I mean, I know there would have been a few, but
In games I started, I don't know. The wee boy Danny played with Zenit. I played against Zenit when I was at Standard Liège, and I swear this guy never lost a ball once. I don't think it was unbelievable.
That's interesting, because I'll be honest, I was expecting one of the Barcelona players for that night, but again, you scooshed it that night, didn't you? So it had to be through one of the other games. Okay, Danny at Zenit, I like that one. Best friend in football?
Ricky Lamy. I went to school with him. He's at Livy. I also struck up quite a good relationship with Greg Stewart when I went up to Aberdeen to train last year. I would do the driving, he would sort the hotel, and we got along very well.
Listen, this works out well. That's a decent relationship. Best stadium you've played at?
Obviously, easy one to say is Parkhead, but maybe then again, maybe either Benfica or Zenit.
Okay.
Don't know.
Stadium of Light, isn't it? The Benfica one. You've been there, Mark Guidi?
Been there a few times, it's top.
Special.
Top draw. Stadion de Luz. Beautiful. Okay. Yeah, top draw.
Right, listen, you must be bored of this. This is the easiest question of the night. A stupid question in many ways. Best footballing moment. Come on. I know you like to try and get through interviews without it, but listen, we ask everybody this. So.
Yeah, probably that. Or I remember when I made my debut at Motherwell, and I turned around to the stand, and I just saw, like, after I'd scored, people up on their feet, and that's probably the first time it hit me. Then the dream was kind of like a reality.
Yeah, I was there. I wasn't on my feet, I must admit. I was there. I mean, that is interesting. Do you think, is it through time that you're almost saturated with the Barcelona stuff that you do start to look elsewhere?
No, obviously that's a once-in-a-lifetime moment, but I always wanted my name in the back of a Celtic top, and I always wanted to play for Celtic, and stepping on and scoring that day, that was probably just as big, knowing that I'd done it, and I was able to say to people, after that, I could have just retired, just make my debut.
It's like your first kiss, Tony. You never forget it.
You never forget it.
I don't want to know. I do not want to know. It's a family show. But no, I like that, Mark Guidi, because there's an easy answer there. But
no, it's nice to hear another side of it in that first moment when you came on and you scored at Firth Park as well, when nobody's really heard you. So who's this boy that we've signed for Airdrie? Because you'd very rarely had Celtic now in the past 20 years going to the lower leagues to sign boys, particularly ones that eventually then go on and play for the team. But you think of the other elements in that Barcelona night that Tony's goal brought in. Was it the 125 or the 130 celebration for Celtic, whether it was 125 years or about that time? There was a great display before it. You've got Rod Stewart crying in the stadium. That then leads to Elton John phoning Neil Lennon at home, and Neil Lennon thinking it's a wind up because that's, you think all the different component, and then you get the Barca players still talking about the atmosphere created at Celtic Park in the Champions League night.
Yeah, well, you saw it against Leipzig, how good the atmosphere was. It is a special place. I don't know what helps it to be so good. Obviously the fans are unbelievable, but it is as if it's a notch above everybody, and that's what I mean. Even away from home at Motherwell, we played against them a couple of weeks ago, and it's a different place when the place is packed out, and the stand just erupted that night, that day as well. And it's just one of them that'll probably, the Barcelona goal was maybe more of a blur, but that one will stay in my mind. That was a real first fairy tale moment for me.
Of course, we are going to talk St Johnstone. Let's go through the rest of these questions though. I'm going to bring you down a notch. What's your worst footballing moment?
Probably that header against Celtic when I was at Hearts, live on Sky. I had people sending me videos of that. I wanted to go to their house and have a word with them, but that was, it was one of them that it was actually almost in. All I need to do is head in it, and I think I comb over it back away. So it's one of them that I can laugh about now. But I had one of them in a week against St Mirren.
I wasn't going to bring that up, and you did it. All right, okay, that's fair. At least you can laugh about
a striker.
Exactly. Listen, the highs and the lows there in a couple of minutes. Any pre-match superstitions?
No. We were talking about this yesterday. Actually, I think a lot of them, like, I hate walking out last because I think it's just a fashion statement now. I think everybody wants to walk out last and put tape around their wrist and that, and I hate doing it, and I get stuck last the other week. I think I was fixing my boots or something, and I think a lot of it's not superstition, I think a lot of it's a fashion statement.
Right, okay, I'm going to look out for that from now on, I must say. Right, tell us something about you we might not already know. This is where I really get worried, because I just don't know what's going to... Do we know everything about you?
Probably, I think you would. I don't know.
Great company.
You're a good singer.
Any instruments?
Terrible singer. I don't mind. I've had a lot of initiations, different clubs I've been at, but I've not perfected a song.
What's your song of choice?
Travelling Soldier by the Dixie Chicks.
Right, well, that's got an adventurous choice, I must say. I didn't expect that.
Have you not? Most people are Stand By Me.
That's probably my favourite film, but that's not.
He's read my notes. That's the next question.
What to watch chapter.
Make your job easier.
Stand By Me. Do you know what? What a choice that is. And yeah, and you know, that's usually a throwaway question, but we've got a genuine movie buff. We've got What to Watch. We've got the absolute proper film critic in. What are your hobbies away from football? Films, anything else?
Watching films, watching TV series up on PlayStation.
You're a proper gamer, aren't you? I've noticed this on social media.
I battle the PlayStation, to be fair.
How many hours a day are we talking?
Well,
don't tell that, your manager might hear.
The gaffer, I told the gaffer I don't play on a Friday night, and he called me out there all week. He said, "Dad, did you enjoy FIFA yesterday?" I said, "I only played it for a couple of hours," and he went, "I thought you never played that." So, just one or two a day, I'd say.
Right, you're a TV and film buff. What's your box set tip then for anyone out there who's struggling for want?
I like the teen dramas. I like your Dawson's Creek, your One Tree Hills, but probably go with the grain and say Sopranos.
See, you've pulled it back there because I want you to look to either side of you. You're sitting in between the Mitchell brothers, and you've just pulled out Dawson's Creek.
Sopranos is the best TV programme in the last 30 years.
Why do you think I pulled out the gangster one sitting next to the 8th?
You should have seen Mark Greedy and Jim Duffy's faces there.
Only started watching Sopranos 3-4 months ago, and we went through it every night and absolutely loved it. It's brilliant.
Right, Tony, final question.
Tony Soprano.
your ultimate five-a-side team. You can be in it or not. This is up to you.
No, I'll leave myself out that. You put me on the spot here. Up front, obviously, I'd probably go Larson Sutton up front, combo. That was the two I watched growing up. Lambert. Was managed by him, and he was a top player. And then
this can be worldwide, by the way.
Probably go Sergio Ramos in there just for a bit of culture, and then
that's one way of putting it. Ramos,
goalie. Buffon's probably a wee bit of culture as well. We played against Dame.
Good. That's decent, because Gary Holt came in recently and put 6 in his team, which was quite problematic. At least you've got 5. I'm happy with that. Right, okay, Tony Watt is with us. Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here as well. 01419511025 on the phones. We will talk to Tony about St Johnstone and get the teaser up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Tony Watt is with us as well, so any questions or points you've got for him, 01419511025, or Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Time for the full time teaser. I'm not sure if Tony's going to be able to assist with this
one.
I'm looking at the generation and thinking, yeah, maybe too much time playing PlayStation to remember some of these. Right, it's been sent in by Dylan Patton for you two. Scotland, he's got a bit of a backstory as well, I like that. He says, Scotland qualified for four of the five major tournaments in the 90s. So within those four tournaments, 50 players were called up. I'm not you're not going to have to name the 50. Name the 11 who were called up but didn't take part in any match. Right, see you later, Tony. Okay. It was nice to speak to you.
What do you mean by called up?
So they went to the tournament but never played.
Okay,
never played.
So 50 different players
11
were
players
used in the four tournaments.
11 players.
Obviously, like, one of them's got a bit goalie, because generally speaking, only played two, three goalies, right. Played one, didn't
So I'll simplify it. We'll ditch the backstory. 11 players went to major tournaments with Scotland in the 90s but never played.
I know one.
Go for it.
Simon Donnelly.
Yes, World Cup 98.
Johnny Gould.
Also World Cup 98.
Scott Gemmell.
Ah, he's flying. He's absolutely scooshing this.
I need to give that to Tony Watt, actually. Speak up, Tony.
Yeah, is that your inspiration?
That was
it?
Scott Gemmell, yeah, from
right,
Tony.
One more guess and then we'll move on.
David Marshall?
No. All right, you can play along at Clyde SSB on Twitter as well. We're going to speak to Tony about St Johnstone and what's going on with him at the moment very soon. Let's get a call from John in Coat Bridge first, though. John, what's your point tonight?
Hello, Mark, the Jim, and Tony. I know you might think this is a bit preposterous, Mark, right, but what about, would you call it, Celtic trying to sign Big Zlatan for a couple of months and one?
Celtic signing Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I did not expect that tonight, I must say.
Well, I'd be very, very surprised.
Celtic,
I think,
man, Mark.
Well, I think with Zlatan, cash is king for something like that, even though he's got tens of millions. But listen, no, I don't think it's going to happen, but if there was ever a chance, I'm sure... If he needed a reference, then Henrik Larsson would give Zlatan a reference all day long to go and try it. But no, is there something doing the rounds, or is this just
is this
an early Christmas present
head,
for you, John?
The cause is available. I've heard that it's great, but you know, Mark, I'm the first. So sometimes my contacts are not too bad, you know.
Could I touch on, would you call it,
I just want to be clear though, John, do you have a Zlatan contact, or is this a Celtic contact?
This is a Zlatan contact, you know what I mean?
It's a Zlatan contact.
Oh. People say I know Swedes, or my missus would call me a bit of a turn up, maybe, you know.
Right, Jim Duffy, you're not having that, are you, Jim?
No, listen, you know, I think when the American, obviously the MLS season finished, they didn't qualify for the playoffs, so he is available. There was talk of him going back to Man U. He's dismissed that, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, and said that, no, I'm not going to go there. So that means, I'm sure, a little bit like Beckham, when Beckham went to Italy, went to France,
PSG,
you know, he's
going
back. So therefore, there's got to be, you know, plenty of clubs out there thinking, can we have him for a few months? Can we have him from January to the end of the season till the MLS starts up again? So it could be one of those ones where, you know, could Celtic throw themselves into the mix? Who knows? But I think it would be phenomenal for our game if something like that did come up. But I think it's dreamland, to be honest.
Yeah, you'd swap shirts with him, all right, wouldn't you?
Oh, I'd be desperate for his.
Absolutely. In fact, I had a tweet in here for Tony Watt. I think it was from Thomas, asking if you've still got your Pirlo one.
Ah, that's up on the wall as well.
That's on the wall.
Pedro.
Good. You deserve that one. That's not a bad keepsake, that, is it?
Signed as well. He signed it for me, so it's not looking too bad.
Oh, that's decent. Is it? And would you say up on the wall, are we talking living room here, or?
No, I've got a wee kind of games room where I play my PlayStation, so it's
for
in the back.
17 hours a day. Yeah, you see it a lot then. Okay. In the first part of Tony Watt's section, we were asking about, getting to know him, various questions from his career. But what about right now, Tony? I mean, just how are St Johnstone doing it? This run is absolutely fantastic, isn't it?
Aye, the boys are flying. We've won five in a row with five clean sheets. I don't think that's something that's ever happened in my career. And I've played all five in the bounce as well, which has been good for me. I've not really had that consistency over the last 2.5 years. And I'm loving it, to be fair. The boys have been brilliant. The dressing room's brilliant. And the play on the pitch has been brilliant. I think everybody thinks St Johnstone are big and physical, but if you actually watch our games, we play the ball about and we pass it about and we're doing better this year, I think.
What's been the secret to it? Because what perhaps makes it more impressive is it actually comes on the back of some really disappointing results. So to then flip it round after that Celtic game and go five wins and no goals conceded, what's the secret?
Yeah, well, I think we had a disappointing game against Rangers. We got beat 5-1 and then I think we played midweek against Celtic and we got beat by one goal, which was unfortunate. Then we got beat by one goal at Tynecastle as well, which are two hard places to go, Tynecastle and Ibrox. And then the 6-0 game was a fluke for us. It was a one-off and we should have maybe... We tried to get out of the system and then obviously Tommy Wright being Tommy Wright, he's got us back to doing the basics and... We're playing well doing the basics and we've went on a good run.
How important is he to what you're achieving?
He's vital, especially for me. I don't want my standard to drop because he's hard on you in a good way and I'm trying to keep his trust so I can play every week and hopefully I'm doing that, and he's been brilliant. He's helped me out a lot and he's detailed to the opposition and the way we play, so it's been brilliant for me.
What about the thing you mentioned, the sort of stability or the playing every week? How important is that for you, given the way the last couple of years have gone?
Oh, massive. I wouldn't change it for anything. Ever since I went up to Hearts, I probably similar to now at Hearts, I never scored as much, probably down to playing a different position. But just now, I've maybe went on a wee dry spell, missed a sitter, missed a penalty, but it's not annoying me because I'm playing well and the team's playing well and we're winning, and at Hearts we were doing the same. And then after that, I probably lost confidence for a year and a half. It was after an injury and I just refreshed and went again, picked myself up and tried to do different things, and now I'm enjoying it and now I'm seeing the fruits of it.
I mean, is this the most settled you've been in, what, I don't know, how long, you tell me?
Probably the only other place that comes close is Charlton, but the stuff going on in the background with the owners and with the club, players in, players out, probably isn't as settled as now, so it's probably been the most settled I've been for since... Probably the last 5-6 years.
I mean, Mark Guidi, you're obviously out and about on a Saturday for us watching lots of games, and I mean, yeah, what an incredible turnaround. The stats obviously speak for themselves. You win five games. If any club wins five games in a row, it's impressive.
Yeah.
St Johnstone have done it and not conceded in that time either.
Yeah, with five clean sheets. I remember watching St Johnstone in the opening day of the season down at Rugby Park against Kilmarnock, and I think it's the poorest performance I've ever seen from a Tommy Wright team. They just didn't look like St Johnstone. I thought it might be a struggle for them, but they've turned it around and they've got a settled side. They've made a few changes, but it just shows you never rule out somebody like Tommy Wright. And you know, maybe another club with a less patient board, they might have been tempted to pull the trigger in Tommy Wright, but the fact that they've stuck by them, they're now in a great run, they're looking more like a top six side again, and the way that they've been playing, the results they've been getting, just adds to that mix, because you've got Kilmarnock in there, Hearts, Hibs, Aberdeen, and now St Johnstone pushing back in towards it. So it's going to be fascinating to see who makes that top six.
Yeah, I mean, for St Johnstone to be above Aberdeen and Hibs, it's fantastic. You know, you look at the resources, you look at the fans, the fan base, but that's down to the players and down to the manager. And also, I think The mental resolve that they've shown, you know, after, as Tony mentioned, after they lost 6-0 to Celtic, it was at that game. I mean, you know, if it wasn't for Xander Clark, there could have been a lot more, actually. But, you know, to come back from that, it shows, one, as I said, for me, tremendous management, because what you, as Tony said there, get back to basics, get back to doing what you're doing. He did change the system and the shape of the team in the summer. He tried to play with two wingers, a little bit more free-flowing. I think once that happened, he kind of just narrowed it a little bit, made it a little bit more compact, but still kept the kind of the team. Didn't dramatically change the personnel. And then all of a sudden, confidence becomes, you get a clean sheet, one or two games, you get a couple of wins, you start to believe in it again. Mm. And as Tony said, although he's not maybe scoring as many goals, he's playing all the time. He's an integral part of the system. And the system's much more important to a club like St Johnstone. It's not about the individual. I think maybe 3 or 4 years ago, Tony might have been more frustrated because he's thinking, I want to be the individual. But now, even though you're only 24, something
24,
like.
Right.
So he's only 24, but I think you've now got that knowledge, the experience that the team is the most important and you're part of that team. You're happy to be a part of the team now.
Yeah, I spoke about that just there. I said, try to gain the manager's trust, and I spoke to people after the game and they're like, you're not taking this player on, you're maybe not doing this, but I'm maybe holding the ball up more and linking the play and getting the team up the way. And before, you're thinking goals, assist. Now, obviously, I'm thinking wins, team first, and then add a goal and assist. And I'm not trying to float my own boat, but I have still got a few goals and a few assists this season, and but the team's doing well, that's the main thing. And I wouldn't be playing every game if the manager didn't think I've been doing well, and after every game he's been good and he fills you with confidence. And like Jim said, the manager's seen after the Kilmarnock game maybe we were a bit different, but this, but he knows when to make a change and he knows how to fix the team. And we went to Easter Road and comfortably beat Hibs on stats and everything. I know some people say stats aren't good, stats aren't this, stats aren't that, but we had more shots, we played better, and I know we stole it at the end, but we deserved to win that game. And we played Motherwell away, which is one of the hardest places to go this year. Livingston away, I think, are we the only team to beat Livy away? And
yeah, you may well
in the league
year,
yeah, I think in the league.
We've got two banana skins with Dundee and
Malone in the cup, yeah.
Dundee and Hamilton are two banana skins, which if you take your eye off the ball, you can get punished. And it's not been an easy run of games. I know in my experience, winning five games in a row is, we said if we can get 6 points or 7 points out of the first three after the Celtic game, that was our mentality. We wanted to regroup and get people back on our side, and to go and win five in a row was unbelievable.
Gary's on the phone. Gary's in Hamilton. What's your point tonight, Gary?
Hi, evening, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Gary.
It was going back to the Candace thing. I don't like to start this off again, actually.
No, on you go, you're fine.
I was trying to get in while the iron was hot earlier. Going into another perspective, you were talking about why you think it was ironic that you got a yellow card. Well, from a neutral point of view, if you've got two guys standing toe-to-toe after a tackle and their handbags are out and they're in each other's faces, the referee will come over and give them both a yellow card. Whether it's 10 yards away, to me it's the same thing. If he goads the player and Antoine Ferdinand thinks he's goading him, and he meets up with Candace and puts his arm around him and makes a gesture, that's the same thing. The two of them get a yellow card, and unfortunately Candace had the second yellow card, and that's why he went off. And that's the way I see it. Whether they're face to face or 10 yards, it's still handbags at dawn, and that's why it was, you can't go booking one of them without the other.
I think another thing as well, referees will always tell you, Gary, that, and every referee will tell you at every level, the first thing they think about in terms of their job, yeah, the rule book, but also they try their very best to keep 22 players on the pitch. That's one of their main objectives, keep 22 players on the pitch. So I would ask the question, was it really necessary to book the two players?
I'm not saying I agree with the red card, Mark, but is that the referee's priority, or is it simply just to uphold the rules at all times?
Yeah, they'll tell you that. They'll try their best to manage the game in a way that tries to keep 22 players. Now, sometimes I've no option, but in terms of something, a wee bit of common sense, that if you speak to referees, Gordon, they'll tell you that. They want to finish games with 22 players, but they don't want to be, or they shouldn't want to be, the centre attention flashing red cards. Okay. Or sometimes they're left with no option. But in that instance, and we've just watched it again on telly, and the more I see it, the more I can't agree with the second yellow card, or the actual the booking for Ferdinand probably as well. But more importantly, the second yellow.
2 seconds,
I don't agree. I don't agree with it.
Yeah, on you go, Gary.
The Candace blown kisses. Can you answer me that?
Yeah, that's.
Right.
Sorry, okay. I miss
your point. He's asking about the blowing kisses.
I don't agree. I can see the point, but I don't agree with it.
If Ferdinand doesn't see that as being playful and he takes it up his arms to think that's a good, yes, I'll meet up, arm round him, make a gesture. Whether they're toe-to-toe or 10 yards, to me, you cannot book one without the other.
Gary, you're honestly saying, Gary, that Daniel Candias deserved a yellow card? Is that what you're saying?
Going by the rule book, yes. Whether it's toe-to-toe or 10 yards, no, you cannot book one without the other.
No.
That's not the rule book.
You're making a rule up, it isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, and the other thing is, referees, I said before, I mean, I was at the Livingston Celtic game, the first couple of tackles that Livingston put in, early bells on Saturday, were yellow card tackles. But Kevin Clancy, I think, was the referee, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he went over, had a little chat, didn't do it, didn't book them. So there are times when referees will give a little bit out and say, like, because as I said, if he starts booking players, the first cut of tackles, he's got another 85 minutes to go, he thinks, oh, as Mark said, I might be sending players off here. So referees do use common sense at times, even if it is against, you know, the, you know, the what most people think. In this particular occasion, I just don't think common sense was used.
And sometimes it's all about timing. A few people have sent me this. Stephen Donaghy is one of them. This happened tonight in a game, Stirling Uni, right? They've tweeted, the referee just booked Lewis Hunter for having white ankle socks on, and he says all the Stirling players have to take their ankle socks off at half time. Mm-hmm. Here's the problem. We showed the ref that the white socks are actually attached to the whole sock, but he says no, he won't reverse the yellow card. So there we go. We'll take your calls on that one tomorrow night. We're going to get the answers to the teaser and speak a bit more to Tony after these.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Get the result you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still time to put any questions to our special guest Tony Watt, who's in talking football, and also to hand over some hard-earned money. He's auctioned off his shirts off his own back, and he's very, very kindly donated over $2,500 to Cash for Kids. So we really are eternally grateful to Tony for that. And I like this tweet that's come in. I hope you're still game fans, or you're not going to get this one. Talking about Tony's like hobbies and so on, Gwigsy has just sent the picture, and it just says, "I like the PlayStation. Do you like the PlayStation?" That's Tony Watt in a nutshell. Loves the PlayStation, honestly. 01419511025 on the phones. Mark Weedy's none the wiser. He's shaking his head. No, got a clue what I'm on about.
I'm too busy in the quiz. I'm in quiz mode.
I forgot about the teaser.
I'm in quiz mode.
Dylan sent tonight's question in. If you've got a good one, please do send it over to us fulltime@clyde1.com. So we're looking for the 11 players who went to tournaments with Scotland in the 90s but never played. Guys like Scott Gemmell, Simon Donnelly and Johnny Gould.
I'm on the goalie thing now. I've got two on my list.
Yeah, I think there are two or three, yeah.
Right, so I'm going to go Neil Sullivan.
Yep, didn't play in 98.
And I'll go right back to 1992 and guess Brian Gunn.
Yes, World Cup 90.
Okay.
I think you're missing another one. I think you got right. So, any others, Jim Duffy?
Nope.
Outfield, Billy McKinley?
Nope.
John Spencer?
No.
Right. Okay.
Tony. You can just sit quietly in the background. Right. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4.
Quietly.
You've still got 6 to get your thinking caps on. On that one, we were talking about before, Tony, about St Johnstone's great form and why it's sort of come about and so on. You were talking about your realisation, if you like, that there's no point in getting down if you're not scoring. It's all about the team and the way you're contributing. Is that something that 24-year-old you appreciates that perhaps, I don't know, 20-year-old didn't?
Yeah, that's it. I think when I was 17, 18, my first thought would be go for goal. But now I appreciate watching the bigger games, the European games, that if your striker doesn't hold up the ball and link the play, you're going to be running back towards your goal very fast. And now I try and think, if I keep the ball, we can avoid pressure, avoid danger. And it's just from watching football and learning football. And like, I credit that to playing games. I think no matter how much you're coached, no matter what you've done, you learn when you're playing games, when you're tired, when you're shattered and you need to make a decision fast. If you make the wrong decision, you're not going to make that wrong decision again, or you're going to pay for it. And watching the bigger games, you see, if a striker doesn't hold it up in Europe, say for your Celtics or your Leicesters the last time they were in Europe, then you're going to be punished, and you're going to, the top quality teams will go and punish you.
On Scotland then, with your expert eye, who's the man to lead the line? We've been talking about it earlier on. You know, Stephen Fletcher has been doing some press, so we heard an interview from him. Ollie McBurney's there, even guys like Callum Patterson.
Well, I played with Cal at Hearts and he was a right back, but he scored so many goals.
He was playing off the front. He done his knee
and I think he was on like 12 goals or something. And he's a goal threat. He is. I do like Fletcher, just because anytime I was in the squad and anytime watching him, he holds the ball up well and he's brilliant in the air. And Scotland need that. Like I said, Scotland need to hold it up. Scotland need to get up and avoid pressure. And I don't know, maybe go with two up front.
All right, then, does he do stuff then that perhaps goes a bit unnoticed? Because understandably, you watch football, you're maybe looking for the guys that score all the time. Is he go unnoticed?
Yeah, well, he went for a stage where he was scoring for fun, but when he's not scoring, he does play well. He's got a great touch. He's quite physical for the size of him. You look at him and you'd probably be like, maybe not the biggest, not the strongest, but he's probably the best at holding it in Scotland I've had for the last, well, I've been watching him the last 5-6 years. And in the air as well, he's very good. I think he'd probably be my choice, just through watching him before. Maybe I've not seen enough of him recently, but I don't think he'll have regressed as a player because the way he plays.
I noticed there's been some talk this week, you know, about goalkeepers dropping out, other goalkeepers dropping in. Your big pal Xander Clark has kept these five clean sheets. I mean, will he be knocking at the door?
Well, I thought he would be, but it's not my decision. I like Scott Bain, I like Jamie McDonald and that. Obviously, I've got a loyalty to Xander. We travel up the girl, but I think it's harsh on the boy. He's probably the only one that's not touting himself for it. We travel up every day and he's a humble boy, probably the hardest working at the club, probably been up player of the season. He's five clean sheets in a row after having an unbelievable game against Celtic. I think the stat was he made 15, 16 saves. He saved the one before Forrest tapped it in, a great shot for Edward. He was brilliant, but I think it's unfair on him, everybody talking about it. I'd rather him just get on with his own game, playing the way he's playing.
See what happens.
He's been faultless for me, and I think it's harsh on him because he's not touting his cell. He's a humble boy, as I said, and he's not saying anything about it. He's probably
there are times to come as well in this one. I mean, because I mean, Craig Gordon and Alan McGregor in their mid-30s now, sort of thing. I know goalkeepers can continue and can go on a little bit longer, but they're still in that stage where they're not going to be too long.
Craig's a Kilmarnock fan in Johnston. We're a little bit pushed for time, Craig. What's your point tonight?
Yeah, I was just wanting to kind of skip over the international break and just obviously get Tony in the show. I just kind of wanted to phone up and get on to the whole point about Kilmarnock Johnston coming up after the international break. So, you know, we played St Johnston at the start of the season, the first home game of the season, and we completely walked over them. And I'm pretty sure Tony will say that himself. Pretty sure any St Johnston fan in the Kilmarnock fan will say that. We walked over them and we played a great game. It looked like we were going to kick start a season the way we ended last season, just on a really strong run. St Johnston at the start of the season obviously didn't have the best start. We had a really good start, but as of recent times, I mean, we drew one each for Hamilton, we lost to Aberdeen unluckily, and then St Johnston on this great run, five wins, five clean sheets in a row. I just wanted to see what the panel thought. Obviously two teams coming up against each other, one's had good form coming into mixed form, one's had bad form coming into really good form. It's going to be a great clash. I'm away up to McDermott Park, I've got my ticket and all that. I'm just wanting to see what the panel and what Tony think the game's going to bring, because I think it could be a game of the season contender if it works out the way it should.
Mark Guidi.
Well, as I say, I was at the opening game of the season, Craig, as well, and I mentioned that I thought Killie were terrific, albeit I think St Johnston were very, very poor and aided Kilmarnock that day. But you're right, you know, both teams in great form. St Johnston, we've been speaking about them all night. As you well know, Kilmarnock, another terrific result. You know, going to Tynecastle and winning 1-0. So yeah, a real tough game to call. And I wouldn't be surprised if Kilmarnock end the scoring run, but I could see it being a score draw, Craig. Without sitting on the fence, I could see that being a 2-2.
Tony, you're sitting on the fence.
Tony, it's certainly two informed teams, as Craig mentions.
Yeah, well, it is. And Kilmarnock are a good team, as you said, start of the season. We were still gelling together. We were still that's probably our most disappointing result of the season. And we're going into every game confident, as are Kilmarnock. And hopefully it's a good one. Hopefully we win, obviously. But they're a good team, and we know that. They're one of our, if we want to do well, they're one of the teams around us that we want to do well against.
What sort of general does the manager ever put? What are you guys sort of aiming for this season? Because St Johnston have just been, it seems like they've just punched above their weight for so many years now.
No, the manager would be the last person to say what we're aiming for. The manager just wants to win games, and he won't get ahead of himself. We won't get ahead of ourselves. There's no point in us saying, putting a target on it. Maybe after Christmas we can look and say, we're up here, we better not let it go, or we're down here, we better get up there. But just now we just want to win as many games as possible. And although we're taking credit for when it's going well, we do remember when people were slaughtering us when it was going bad. And we just need to try and even that out now.
Okay, thank you to Craig and Johnson. Right, we need to make some progress in this teaser. Any more for me?
Yeah, I've got one.
Right,
got
go,
one.
Go.
Davey Weir.
Nope.
Brian Irvin.
No.
Jackie McNamara.
No.
Stuart McKimmy.
Nope.
Scott Booth.
Nope.
Ian Jess.
No.
That's one I would have said, but
I'm struggling. Right, and there's another goalie.
There's another couple of goalies.
Another couple of goalies.
Yeah. Euro 92. I'll start giving you clues, right? Euro 92, and the club link you're looking for is Hearts.
Euro 92.
I thought that was going to do it. Yep.
Can it be Henry Smith?
It's Henry Smith.
Is the other one Alan Ruff?
No. In Euro 96, Rangers and Motherwell, this guy also played for.
Euro 96.
Think shortbread.
Walker. Nicky Walker.
Nicky Walker.
What? Nicky Walker was at Euro 96?
Yep.
Wow. He must have been the Partick Thistle goalie.
Right. We've got a big defender, World Cup 98. actually went on to become a decent player for Scotland just after that. Same haircut as you two.
Or Matt Elliott.
Matt Elliott. What else have we got? One guy did it three times, 92, 96, 98.
And didn't play in any games.
Didn't play. Partick, Aberdeen central defender, played for Celtic. Partick Thistle.
Oh, Derek White.
Derek White. Euro 92.
He got a good challenge at though, Derek.
Great
challenge. It was in November.
Right. And Euro 92, another footballer, you would. Hearts and Rangers, that's the only two clubs that need mentioned, really.
Derek Ferguson?
No.
Dave McPherson? No.
A.M.
Alan McLaren.
Alan McLaren. That was a good question. That
no, Alan or Andy?
Alan. That's terrible. I get 10.
Alan. There's Matt.
I've only got 10.
I think we've got them all, have we not?
Simon Donnelly, Johnny Gould.
We don't have time for this. We can pick it up on tomorrow night's show. Anyway, thank you, Jim Duffy, Mark Guidi, and a big thanks to Tony Watt, not only for joining us, but for those efforts raising all that money for Cash for Kids. It really is much appreciated.
Well done, Tony.
We'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock in the company of Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. Callum Gallagher's up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.